This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, 8:36 in the morning on Wednesday, the 5th of August. This is The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Philip C. Let's talk about the Prime Minister's announcement yesterday, where he finally threw down the gauntlet. So Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin will table a vote of confidence over his premiership in the Dewan Rakyat when it convenes next month.
This after a group of UMNO MPs withdrew support for the Prime Minister this week. In an audience with the Yang Di Pertuan Agong yesterday morning, Muhyiddin informed the King that he is convinced that he still has majority support and he will put this to the test in September.
Now, according to the Constitution, a Prime Minister who loses majority support should either resign or call for Parliament to be dissolved. There are questions, however, as to why the delay for a confidence vote to September. And of course, that is the subject of the poll you're running on our BFM Twitter account this morning. We are asking you, are there valid reasons to delay the confidence vote to September? Tell us why. There are three options: yes, no, and don't know. Do weigh in because the poll is still running till 9 a.m.
That's right, and we'll go into some of your comments in a little bit. But for a deeper dive into the political situation and what we can expect from now until September, we have on the line with us Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the Asia Research Institute of the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Good morning, Bridget. Twice in a week we get to speak to you. That's quite the treat. The Prime Minister will finally hold a confidence vote in Parliament, something which opposition members have demanded since the Lanka Sheraton last year. I mean, let's start with, what do you think swayed Muhyiddin's decision to finally do this?
Good morning, and it's always a pleasure to be here. Before I get into the specifics, I would like to note that yesterday was a very difficult day for Malaysia. The number of deaths from COVID, the highest number of cases, I think, you know, these are things that I think that are extremely important in terms of the history of the country. And while we talk now about the issues of what's happening at the political elites, because that's part of the story, I think it is important to sort of take a moment to acknowledge where the country is at. But let's go to the question of the issues of the majority. I think that, you know, he is saying that he will do this. And of course, I think politicians say a lot of things, and whether or not they will actually do them and do them in a timely way, I think is going to be very important as things move forward. But the question really is now whether or not they will actually carry out this vote in following the typical standards, and whether or not the parliament should be moved forward given the urgency in terms of the questions about the government. I think at this point we see the government using all levers that it has at its disposal to basically buy itself time. In terms of the majority itself, we saw that originally there was 9 SDs, and then they moved to one publicly to 11, and then there were a few others. We have news reports saying it's only 5. I think what we're seeing is that there's now a war on the public perceptions about how much support the support Muhyiddin has and how many people have actually defected. And what we're seeing is that the government is trying to paint this as only the court cluster, to delegitimize UMNO's leadership, to kind of marginalize those in UMNO that have stood out, that they don't support the government, and to kind of consolidate the base of who are those who are actually behind it. We also see narratives of which their government is saying that there is a minority government is okay, so preparing potentially for its base to appreciate that and to continue to support it. And I think this is a kind of a war on words, but it's also a very fundamental issue about respect of democratic institutions, respect of the processes within the Constitution, of which we didn't see considerable support for kind of accountability yesterday, more about pushing things down the line.
So do you think that pushing things down the line, i.e. that vote in September, what does it tell us about the level of support that Tan Sri Muhyiddin has?
Well, I think, you know, when we look at this issue of what's happening, right, we can see that, you know, that Muhyiddin Yassin is doing everything he can to stay in power and using the issues of the incumbency to his advantage. We traditionally see the tools that are being used in terms of between now and September are issues in terms of financial awards, also using the levers of the state in terms of punishment. I don't think it's a coincidence after the announcements yesterday that we see key figures in terms of addressing issues in UMNO in terms of their cases. And I think that the impact of this is that it weakens aspects of governance, and it really, you know, weakens the institutions when things such like health institutions and conflicting logic about timing of parliament really raise very fundamental questions about what is happening in terms of the way the institutions are being used for keeping in political power as opposed to focusing on the issues of governance.
And Bridget, I'm curious, could anything be inferred from the politicians that were present at Tan Sri Muhyiddin's press conference? One notable absentee was, of course, Hishamuddin.
You know, I mean, I think what we're seeing is a situation, what I call the 4Ds. You know, what we see initially, I was speaking about the issue of deflection, but we also see a kind of open defiance that the Muhyiddin is basically sticking on. And we saw that there were four key groups that are supporting him, the pro-BN components within UMNO, those that are looking for power, who want to continue to support the government, see that is they view that is needed to stay in government and to hold, have access to power. That particular cluster, particularly led by Ismail Sabri, we see PAS, the Islamist party there, GPS came out openly from Sarawak, and of course, key members of Bersatu, Azman Ali was in the forefront. And I think this does show that Muhyiddin Yassin's government has considerable support among the political elites and among these political party bases. We also see a situation, what I call the second E, which is that there is considerable denial of the fact that there is a problem, all right? You know, as I said, that there is erosion of support for the government. And this is not just at the elite level. We see polling that supports, that shows that this is quite considerable in society in terms of there's been a reversal in terms of the way the government has been seen in terms of its handling of the pandemic and also in terms of its assessment of performance. And this is perhaps the most significant reversal in the shortest period of time in Malaysian history, that only based on Merdeka survey data, for example, we see that only a third of the country is supporting the government in a meaningful way in terms of its performance. And this is a really significant drop and change. Mm-hmm. And the third D I would see is that we see disrespect of the institutions themselves. I mean, when the government is seen to be playing numbers games, engaging in sort of pushing down the timing of parliament, this does not evoke confidence within Malaysia as a whole, but also within the international community. If you have a majority, then you actually should show that you have a majority, as opposed to continue to try to play a sense of putting this down the road. And so these elements, I think, are really contributing to a crisis. Muhyiddin Yassin's government, in a sense, he becomes the crisis, as opposed to addressing and focusing on the most serious issues that I've talked about earlier in terms of the COVID-19 pandemic, which is a national crisis now. You're looking at the numbers and worrying numbers in states like Kedah and Penang and places such as Kelantan and Sabah, right. As well as the fact that the economy is in quite serious straits compared to where it should be and where it needs to be, given the numbers that we're seeing coming out in that regard.
That was Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the Asia Research Institute, University of Nottingham, Malaysia, giving us a picture of the different dynamics at play as we all await the confidence vote in Parliament in September.
She makes a very good point. I mean, all these machinations, right? Do we really, as public, really worry so much about it when we have other bigger crises to deal with? We have COVID numbers, a record high yesterday.
19,000.
19,000 hitting 20,000. We have an economy still stagnant and no movement at all. Now even made worse with indecision. So I guess a lot of times, I think a lot of it's like, we really don't care really. You know, that's a perspective.
I think she made a really good point about the fact that our leader is becoming a crisis in the midst of a crisis. And I think that's just it's an untenable position in some ways. I also really liked the 4Ds that she mentioned, the way she framed how the government seems to be responding to what's happening with deflection, defiance, denial, and disrespect. So yes, this is, you know, it's something that we are all watching with bated breath.
Yeah, sadly that we have to watch till September at this rate, right? And it's we did ask this morning, are there valid reasons to delay the confidence vote to September? And an overwhelmingly 90% say no. 4% say they don't know, while the balance say yes. You know, so let's hope, I don't know, September, is it going to be a very long month though?
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.